With me for my edition of Farmer Friday, I've got Jim Yeager out of Eddyville, Iowa. Jim, you're here in the studio. Thanks for being with me today.
Glad to be here, Pat.
So tell us a little bit about what's happening. Of course, last time I talked to you, it was getting ready, getting preparation, so on and so forth. But now the corn is looking great. Soybeans are in ship shape. You've had a couple of cuttings of hay. Talk a little bit about that.
Yep, we just got our second cutting of hay up. It went good. The yield was good. Right now we're kind of in fungicide and corn mode, watching for bugs. Fungicide for beans will be coming up in a week or so, a week or two. So everything seems like it's under control. Cows are out to pasture and things are kind of working out so far. Weather's been good.
On the application of fungicides, do you guys do it yourself or do you hire it out?
We do. Like the beans, we can do ourselves, and we do. And the corn, we don't have a high machine, so we're doing most of it ground this year. Some of it will be with air, but mostly it'll be ground. So we do all the soybeans ourselves, and the corn we have to hire out.
I may have asked this before, but on the hay, do you ever test it for quality, nutritional quality and value?
Yeah, we have. We don't sell hay. If we did, we'd do some more of that, I suppose. But I guess been doing it a while, we kind of know what you got, you know. And the hay this year's been good quality, you know. So we kind of feel like we kind of know what we got.
What's your rotation on hay? You got a hay field that lasts how many years?
Oh, maybe five or six. And then we try to go to corn a couple of years to break the cycle and then back to hay. Most of our hay is on ground that we like to keep seeded down for the erosion, you know. And so a couple of years to corn to break the cycle and make the hay grow good. And then back to hay.
That cycle sounds very familiar to when I was a farmer.
Speaking of when you were a farmer, I think we're going to turn this around. Nobody wants to listen to me, right? So I feel like I got to ask you a few questions.
All right.
If you want to answer them.
Okay.
So how did you first get interested in ag, and when did you decide this was your deal?
Well, I grew up on the farm, Rockwell City, northwest Iowa, very, very quality soil, excellent in terms of the blackness of the dirt. Of course, that would be Webster Nicolet type of soil that was good there. And it was also a place where one of the glaciers stopped. So there was a lot of rocks to pick. And that was one of my first introductions to helping out on the farm besides mowing the grass on the yard. But picking rock was a springtime chore and or anytime you saw it, when you're passing it on the field, you need to get out, pick that rock, and get it out of there. So we had huge rock piles.
Still do, right?
Well, yeah.
No one knows.
Yeah. It's a never-ending battle as that the soil works it up, and they keep coming to the top there. And another thing that I was a part of a lot was helping with harvest in terms of hooking up the wagons, you know, getting those items into the place, and then of course, I moldboard plowed. I did that as well.
So you're talking like junior high now kind of stuff? You're
right.
Plowing? Okay.
Right. Yep. So that was in the 70s, mid-70s. I graduated in 79 from high school, so that gives you a little age variance there. But being a part of it, I knew what I needed to do to help out with the farm. My brother enjoyed pigs. And so I was tagging along with my brother a lot. We had a small farrowing house that we used, and he kind of got the pig bug in me, so to speak, to help out there. And of course, a lot of it was done by hand in terms of scooping those buildings. And that work ethic, Jim, of being on the farm, you got that instilled in you to go out there, get the job done, help out. Dad had a cow herd. And the thing about the cows that I remember most about was, and I've said this before, sometimes he would have cows that were old enough to vote. And they were kept on the farm because they calved easily. You know, you didn't have to help them out deliver the calf. They'd lay down, have the calf, off they went. We didn't worry about genetics too much. And so that was a part of the operation as well. But fixing fence, yes. Baling hay, yes. Helping with harvest, yes. And of course, planting, you know, getting the seed from one place to another, that's always part of it as well. So that's what I did growing up.
So when talk about the work ethic, like when your dad would say, hey, this needs to be done, he didn't say, well, this is probably going to pay us so much if we do this today, did he? He just said, this needs to be done, and you went and did it. And pretty soon there was no resume, was there?
No.
You just went and did what needs to be done, and you were farming.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. You know, thankfully, if there was a school activity such as a concert, ball game, that was, you know, go ahead and do that. That was the type of thing. But if you were at home, you were working. And that's just the name of the game.
So you're up and you're in high school and you're thinking about college. And at what point did you say, you know, I want to be an ag instructor, maybe be an FFA advisor? When did that kick in?
That's a good question, because of the fact that the farm crisis was hitting right at that time, mid-70s to early 80s, a very terrible time in agriculture. My parents said face to face to me, your brother is going to be on the farm. There's not enough money to go around to take care of three families. So you're going to have to find something else to do. And so I enjoyed agriculture, and it just made sense to get into teaching. So I went to Iowa Central Community College, and then I got my AA degree, and all of my credits transferred to Iowa State. And so I was able to step right in for 2 years at Iowa State to get my ag ed degree. And my first job was at Twin Cedars, and I was able to start teaching in the fall of 1983.
Okay, fair. And I was going to ask you, when did you start? How long was your teaching career?
So at Twin Cedars, I was there 5 years, and I got my feet wet. As a new instructor, they don't teach you how to do discipline very much. And I had a terrible time with discipline. And so when the opportunity came to go to Eddyville, as Don Kent retired, if I'm not mistaken, he was your instructor.
Yep.
He took that shot there and applied for Eddyville, and I was fortunate to get it. And I was there for 29 years. And, you know, when I was at Twin Cedars, I did things that were not as good as they could be. And when I got to Eddyville, I fixed those errors. And even that being said, there's things when I could have looked back now, it's like, man, I wish I would have been able to know about this, even more so. It's a ever-changing world in agriculture. And if you don't pick up on it right away, sometimes you get left behind.
Yep. So I've always said experience is what you get about 5 minutes after you really could have used it, right? It's probably the same.
That's exactly right. The teachers today that are out and about, they have so many more resources that they can tap into and help them out. There's a item that was out there on social media that said, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's this and this and this for resources. I invented the wheel a lot, because of the fact that there wasn't anything technology-wise out there. It came slowly, but then it cost a lot. So developing your own materials was what a lot of us did back mm-hmm. in the day.
So I was going to say, you said when you started, discipline was a thing you had to figure out. But ever since I've known you, it seems like you got a way of getting the kids to do what you want them to do and make them think it was their idea almost. So you got... there's your experience coming in. You figured that out, how to rally the troops. So I always thought you were pretty good at that.
Well, thank you. And you're exactly right. Nothing beats experience. When people say they want people with experience and they haven't ever had a job before, somebody's got to give them that opportunity. And thankfully, I was able to get that at Twin Cedars. And then I moved on from there and learned from my mistakes, so to speak, to do a better job at Eddyville.
So if you were a junior high kid and you're okay doing it again, is there any different turns you would have taken or to go somewhere different? Are you
happy? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Tweak it a little bit.
And the junior high kid is a different cat than a high school kid. That's for darn sure. So you need to make certain that you knew what you were doing. I think that one of the biggest successes we had at Eddyville was the FFA chapter with AgriPower. We were able to get everybody on board. And when I say everybody, I don't mean just the kids. I mean the parents and the grandparents were involved as well. We were able to be very successful on the state fair level with lots of kids because the parents were involved with the kids' projects to get them up there. That it takes a village, Jim, to make certain that everybody is on board to be successful to get that what's called the Supreme Chapter Award.
So when you name, when you had to have a new name when you came in, you didn't have to, but it was AgriPower. Was there something in there because Powers was your name? Be honest with me here.
Well, I am, because when Eddyville went from Eddyville to Blakesburg, there was an individual that said, well, I don't want Blakesburg on my FFA jacket. And the Blakesburg kid said, well, I don't want Eddyville on my jacket. I said, that's fine. We can change the name. And everybody's like, are you kidding me? I said, no, we can change your FFA to any name, the chapter. And that would be if we got another school in. Well, lo and behold, we got Fremont in later on. So we're not EBF as an FFA chapter. We're AgriPower. So we actually took a vote, and the first choice technically was AgriKing. It was AgriKing, and the reason why I selected as a choice was because of the Orange Bowl had a parade. It was always the King Orange Bowl Parade. It's like, well, that's kind of cool. King means that they're top of the line. And the superintendent at the time said, no, you're not going to do that. Well, okay, we'll pick out another one. And then, boom, we picked out AgriPower because of the power station that's at Chillicothe. Oh. And lo and behold, because it's about in the middle, kind of the school district, and you can see that tower from nearly everywhere in the school district. So AgriPower became the name, and it's synonymous with Eddyville, EBF.
So in your high school, junior high, college career, have you ever been stuffed in a locker?
No.
Have you ever stuffed anybody in a locker?
No, no.
Okay, that's a good record there. So anyway, well, I think we about covered it. You're still teaching. You're still teaching ag. So it's kind of ongoing, but
yeah, it's a lifelong lesson, and I enjoy this, the opportunity that Joe Millage has given me. It's fun, and I enjoy doing it. Doing Farmer Friday is phenomenal, and we'll keep doing it as long as I'm around.
Okay, fair enough.
For KIIC, I'm Pat Powers. Jim, thanks for being with me and turning the tables on me.
You're welcome. We'll do it again.
And to our listeners, if you want to listen to this podcast of Farmer Friday all over again, go to our website, www.kiicradio.com. Select that audio vault that's at the top, and on the right side, you'll find all of the other Farmer Friday editions that we have.